there are opportunities in life for gaining knowledge and experience.
So let's have a conversation.
Okay. What would you like to have a conversation about?
Welcome to the 42nd episode of The Conversation, Nordic Film Podcast. Well, we went Nordic last time, and this time we're going Hungarian.
Yes, moving down south a bit.
Yeah, a little bit. Interestingly enough, Eastern Europe. So, before we check that out, let's just see what we've been up to, Rune. What's going on? What have you been watching?
Well, actually, I want to start out by introducing my beer.
Did I fuck up the introduction again?
That's fine.
Rune, what are you drinking?
I am drinking a Indian Pale Ale from a brewery on a small island called Møn in Denmark also.
Okay.
Møn.
Yeah.
So there's Sealand, and then down below those that island where I'm living is Lolland, Falster, and Møn.
Cool.
So, yeah. It's called Liselund.
Mm-hmm.
It looks pretty nice.
Looks,
I had a choice between this one because Elin had just brought me this one today, but I had a vanilla stout in the fridge, so I have a vanilla stout just as a backup, but I decided to start out with this one and see where that goes. So here it goes.
Okay.
There you go.
Nice sound that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Smells good. Smells like an Indian pale ale.
You like those IPAs?
Mm. Sometimes. I mean, it's sometimes they're a little bit too sharp in their taste for me. This one is pretty good. Just the right amount of sharpness.
Yeah, you're nodding viciously there.
Yes.
Very happy.
Yes. Yeah. So, how about you? What are you? What's your poison tonight?
Well, I have a backup beer as always, and there's no price for guessing which one that is. But I have an Icelandic white ale this time. I'm a bit worried. Let's just see what's in it. It's called Viking White Ale. Viking is an Icelandic brewery in Akureyri. And it says here, water, wheat, malt, barley, malted oats, and hops. So none of that coriander stuff or lemon. So we'll see. Well, I'm a bit worried, I must say, but hang on.
It's from the north.
Yeah, and it's also a can. I haven't dared to buy a Hoegaard in a can yet. I don't want to ruin it. But
can you get a Hoegaard in a can?
Yes.
Okay.
Let me just see how this is going to pan out. I have a glass now.
I can see.
I was a bit embarrassed last time.
Yeah.
Good pouring, don't you think?
Yeah, I think it was pretty good. Again, that 33 degree angle and everything. Yeah. A tiny amount of foam on top. Yeah, wow.
They are lying. There is some coriander and lemon in this.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm.
But, hang on.
But not quite the same. He has another slurp.
Yeah, it's no. It's
okay,
not bad.
No.
It's not bad.
Okay. But not, yeah, okay.
Well, I have a backup.
It's something you can actually finish.
Probably.
Yeah.
Okay, now we move on to the next item on our list. What have you been watching, Rune?
Yes. Well, I just remembered that last weekend I went to see Black Panther.
Yes, yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I did. I was not at all excited because I know that hype really gets me.
Yeah.
And the last time I was hyped and went for a Marvel movie, it was Guardians of the Galaxy, the first one.
Yes, pretty. That was pretty good by these standards. Yeah,
again, everybody was raving about it, saying it was the best Marvel film ever.
It was like funny and it had a bit of a heart, so there you go.
Yeah, I guess so.
That's enough for us suckers.
Black Panther, however, is definitely tapping into a different segment.
Okay.
Because, I mean, it majority features black people, and there's only Martin Freeman, who is white in it.
Okay.
You know, for that, it's great and refreshing to see this kind of story pan out.
And just killing it at the box office as well.
And is killing it. And for all that, I think it's amazing and it's great. It's great that we have a black superhero.
Good step, yeah.
Yeah. And there's some amazing female characters in it. I mean, when it comes down to it, the guy who plays the Black Panther is probably the most boring character there. It's all the supporting female characters who are really like kicking ass. And it's also them who are most interesting to actually look at, in my opinion. But yeah, like all that being said, it is still a Marvel film.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it is still a lot of this like fisticuffs. No, is it called fisticuffs? Yeah,
I guess. I have no idea what you mean.
No, a lot of fist fighting.
I see.
And just a lot of people getting beaten the shit out of for extended periods of time. And you're never afraid for any of them because, I mean, they're superheroes. I mean, they have immense strength and nothing can hurt them somehow. You know, it's just like there's no real stakes.
I think maybe this is a phase in movie history where people are going to think after 50 years, they're going to think, what the fuck was going on with all these superhero?
All the superheroes, yeah.
I mean, really. Anyways, you were not really that impressed overall.
At some point when I was sitting there, I was thinking, what if a director like Spike Lee, for instance, would make this movie? Because, I mean, it's this whole... Well, he did the whole blaxploitation thing. Mm. And, I mean, taking his stuff and bringing it to the present day here and making a superhero film, that could probably be interesting. Like a talking superhero movie where there's not so much flash, but all like a lot of, talk. I was also thinking, what could Jarmusch have been doing with this stuff?
So you're saying you take the superhero element out of superhero film, so you're left with a film, basically.
Yeah. I guess so.
Okay.
Well,
it's a good idea. I think people should look into that.
Anyway, you should. It's a good step. Making a superhero film like Black Panther, but it's still a superhero film.
Yeah.
How about you?
Be racist when it comes to superhero films. They all suck, basically.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, more or less.
more or less. Well, I've been to the cinema as well, and the previews, they kind of stuck with me. It was Rampage with... the Rock, Dwayne Johnson, yeah. and mm-hmm. like these giant monsters. And
you really want to watch it?
No.
Did you play the game?
No. There was also a Marvel, the upcoming one, Infinity War, preview. Mm-hmm. And I was just thinking, the entire what the fuck. to quote a character in a film I watched last night as well, The Usual Suspects.
Mm-hmm.
So that surprised me a little bit because I thought it was better. It wasn't that good. I mean, it was. It's good, but it's not like super good. The Usual Suspects.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I remember that one, but it's one of those movies I've never watched.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Kaiser Soze. Yeah. Okay.
And I think I've heard too much about it now. With
You know the hook.
I think so. Okay. But I wouldn't want to spoil it if I don't.
Yeah. Okay. I just we've been watching a lot of good European films and you look at stuff like that. It's just it didn't live up to my standards. I watched it before, of course, when it came out, and I was really impressed back then.
Yeah.
But not so much now. But I want to tell you, I went to the movies.
Yes.
And we didn't talk about this beforehand, before the show, but I saw A Quiet Place. So I ask you now, live, how are we going to do that one? Because you said you would be interested in seeing it at least.
Yeah, I mean, maybe we should. I would like to see it. It's, what, Amy Adams? No, it's not Amy Adams. What's her name?
It's John Krasinski, director, acting. Directing and acting. And Emily Blunt, I think she's called.
Yeah, Emily Blunt. Yeah. Exactly. So I want to watch it. Maybe we should just do that one.
Maybe we should just I will not comment right now on that. So I'll give you a chance. Maybe we can do it as a secondary next time or something if you go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Sure. Yeah.
So yeah, I was I've been watching Dicta on TV.
You told us about that last time.
Last time, yeah. Not impressed anymore.
Okay.
It's annoying because there's this good characterization going on.
Mm-hmm.
But plot-wise it's all over the place. So there's like Staples leaving the show from the first season. Okay. There are like two Staples that left the show inexplicably. Okay. One of them, and it's just they're making weird choices.
Okay.
And I was quite positive when I talked about it last time, but it has so definitely something. It has got something, but definitely it's not. I can't really recommend it anymore.
Okay. Which season?
We just started the third season. We have 22 out of 30 seen now.
Yeah.
There you go.
Okay. Yeah. That's unfortunate. I mean, and Iben Mjaille is a very good actress.
She's a very good. Oh. That's the main strength are the actors. Mm-hmm. They're very good. Yeah. I have nothing bad to say about the actors, but the writing is all over the place a bit.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's very good. But other times it's just inexplicable, very silly. I have something personal to share as well.
Mm?
Yeah,
please go ahead.
My son. It was a parenting moment. My son. I was looking after him, and I was like stuck in my phone, so I didn't hear from him for a few minutes, and then I started to look for him, and he was like in the next room. And he was making no sound. But so I looked and he was just playing. So I went back on the phone. Okay. Still no sound for another couple of three minutes or something.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to him and he was playing with a gum.
A used
chewing gum, which is all my fault, of course. I left it by my bedside. And when that happens, I take him down in the morning, but I forgot this time. And he had it like all over himself. He had the hair was full of gum. Yeah.
How much gum do you use?
It's still just a couple of extra, little extra gums.
Okay.
And so I was in trouble and it's totally my fault. So I kind of in a hurry, kind of ignoring my wife's objections. She was not really into this decision. I decided to cut his hair with a razor. So now he has a kiwi head.
Okay, yeah. Like prickly hair.
Yes, yes. Very, very, very short. And
okay.
I have gotten like a complete outrage from the family and universal condemnation. I got
this.
Entirely my own doing, of course, but still.
You know,
I mean,
it grows out again.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying.
I mean,
there's
and he
no
has such
harm
short
done.
Hair anyway. Yeah.
There's no harm done.
I mean, if Reskva, if I would have done it to Reskva, it would have been a different thing because we're trying to gather more hair on her.
Yeah, he was due a haircut anyways.
Yeah, yeah. And then you just took it one step further.
Yeah, it's springtime.
Yeah.
It's not unheard of that you just cut their hair off.
No, apparently
he's
not.
He's fine with it. And yeah. But Shep's family is... Well, outrage is not too strong. Well,
they'll get over it.
Yeah, yeah, it's all in good fun, I guess. Now it happened yesterday, but I'm still feeling it.
Yeah, yeah, I can imagine. You know, funny thing, Reskva is also very fascinated by gum, and just. The other day in the daycare, when we got out there, it's like there's a huge yard that you can play around in when you pick her up. And she found some nice stones in the corner of that yard. And all of a sudden, she had a stone in her mouth, which was not a stone. She was looking at me and just saying like, oh, gum. Gum. Mm. And then she ran away from me because she really wanted to taste that gum. Yeah.
So did she swallow it or?
No, I got a hold of it. I got a hold of her and the gum. And then I threw it on the ground and said, we don't chew gum that is lying on the ground.
And you, young lady, don't chew gum at all.
At all, also. Yes. No, that was our experience with gum. Also, the next day when I picked her up, she went for that exact same spot. And wouldn't you know it, the gum was still there. And she was just going straight for it and wanted to take it. And yeah, but I was prepared.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's a lesson for you, though. You throw your gum away, not on the ground.
Yeah, you don't. Like, next time, just throw it away. But it was not my gum. And it was kind of disgusting, you know. yeah. And lastly, apparently this morning she found a pack of gum when she was out with Elin, and she had one, and it was like this like strawberry flavored thing, and she was just saying, this is amazing. It tastes so good, mama.
So
and then she spat it out.
Her mother
afterwards.
Gave her a gum or
No. She gave herself a piece of gum, and Elin figured it out, realized it, and Reskva was just so happy that she had a real piece of gum that actually had taste in it. And then once she was done, she spat it out because Elin said that she couldn't swallow it. So
yeah. That's what I'm worried about with the gum.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I've been trying to get Simula not to swallow his toothpaste, which he does always.
Yeah.
But that's what I'm afraid of. That he's going to swallow gum. So.
Yeah, you shouldn't swallow it. And, you know, it's not a thing that we will continue to feed her gum.
Good.
It's been a weird week for gum.
I guess we had some parenting lessons.
This week. Along the same lines.
Yeah.
So you shouldn't just cut off your kid's hair without permission.
Apparently, there are ways to get gums out. Kind of cool it without or freeze it or whatnot. I don't know. I'd never heard of that. Okay. I just wanted to. Well, he needs to cut a haircut anyways.
Yeah. Let's do it now. Yeah.
Yes. Anyway.
Great. Yeah. Should we move on?
Yeah. Let's just go and talk about our main feature, the Hungarian on body and soul.
Endre vagyok, a gazdasági igazgató.
Rácz Mária, minőség ellenőr. Palit akar fogni, doktornő.
Mondd, Lacikám, nincs valami rendesebb arcfeszed?
De nem.
Maga privát kis vicce érdekel. Akkor most mondja, hogy mit álmodott valójában ma éjjel.
Én nagyon szép meglátom magát.
Ezt nem hiszem el.
Mi van összeült?
That was a clip from On Body and Soul, the movie that we're going to be discussing this time. I will try to pronounce the director's name. It is directed by Idiko Inieri. I probably butchered that name completely.
did pretty and, good.
Yeah. It's about two, well, fairly introverted people who find something to like about each other, and you know, it's basically a love story set in a slaughterhouse.
two lonely people find each other. Yes, two lonely people, yes, on the edge of society. Does that, yes, sound familiar to you?
Like our last episode?
Not really last, but the one before, because The Shape of Water. I mean, it's you can make some comparisons. There are like people with who are special, definitely on the edge of society.
Yeah, I mean,
and there are some fantastical elements here as well. I mean, it's not like
not as
gills
fantastical
and stuff, but I mean, almost a.
Well, that's an interesting comparison. I mean, I wouldn't have gone to Shape of Water when I watched it.
Thank you. Yeah. I'll take that.
Yeah. However, there's no sea creature in On Body and Soul.
No gills.
But I would agree that the cinematography is beautiful, as it was also in Shape of Water. So
very different art department work, though. I mean, I guess that's where the comparison ends. It's about people who are special and unlikely to find love that actually find love. I guess that's not a spoiler.
No, I guess not.
Find love in some way, you know.
Yes, let's keep it at that. So my friend Tamás actually introduced me to this movie and said that I needed to watch it probably last summer, actually, something like that. Finally, we have, or like I have, we actually wanted him to be on the show, but unfortunately he is working to become a director of photography, like DP, and right now he's on a shoot in Russia. So he wanted to chime in today. I'm trying to get him on for a short interview just to, well, get a Hungarian perspective on this Hungarian film, because there are definitely some things that are very probably like Hungarian, where we don't know the culture, and that would be nice to be get that expanded a little bit. But that being said, we can still discuss this movie, of course. I mean, Kaurismäki didn't keep us from talking about Finnish people and culture. Now that I was the one picking this movie, like on a recommendation from Tamás, how do you like getting introduced to this whole Hungarian scene?
Well, I think this is my first Hungarian film ever. And I was quite taken with it, I must say. And since Tomás is studying to be a cinematographer, I guess we should just start there because that's a huge element of this film.
Yes.
And it, for me, it kind of makes it what it is. I can't really go into technical stuff because I don't know it, lenses and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But for me, the camera work was really, I don't know, kind of crisp. The whole look was, there was a certain style going on mm-hmm. the whole way through, both mm-hmm. with the artwork, which is really kind of, I don't know, bland, I guess, but still very crisp.
Yeah.
Except like, with the outdoor shots with the animals, which mm-hmm. were just incredibly beautiful. I could just sit and watch that all day. These deers. Mm. That's something.
Yeah. You know, I felt like it was amazing with those shots, and also the animals that were recorded in the slaughterhouse as well.
Yes,
they were like, of course, the deer. There's a bigger plot point there, but they were all shown as human beings or like real people. Like it seemed like they were thinking things. They were thinking of life, and there was more going on than just them being animals. And it was the way they shot them. It seemed like they were dreaming, or, you know, there was something more going on. They were longing. There was like longing in their eyes, sometimes in the slaughterhouse. I felt
such beautiful creatures.
Yeah. And such, I mean, the deer scene that you oh yeah okay
I mean, I like cows as well, but
but you weren't really affected by that prolonged scene at the slaughterhouse.
I can see why people would be affected by that, mm-hmm. but having worked in food processing myself, coming from a little fishing village here in Iceland, I've gutted fish a lot, you know.
Yeah.
Worked with cut heads off and whatever, you know.
Yeah.
So it doesn't bother me.
No. I still feel like cows are a little bit different than fish.
True.
You know, fish doesn't have any feelings. That's what I've heard.
Yeah, no, well, I mean, let's not fall into that pitch.
It's just this big animal, you know, like, and they show it so beautifully in this movie, but they also show it so brutally. Like, it's like brutally beautiful. You know, and also the combination of recording them, like showing them in this like human way where they're real characters, because they focus on so much on their faces or on heads.
True.
And then you just kill them. Like, I think they made that connection very well. That you should care for these.
And early animals. On, yeah, as well.
Yeah.
We have a cow looking up at the sky at one mm-hmm. point, and then a shot at the sky, and you kind of start thinking, yeah, she's, what is she thinking?
Longing.
You know, what is she thinking?
Yeah,
she's just there, about to be killed and about to be made food for humans.
Mm-hmm.
But so, I guess you could say that this is a vegan film. I mean,
in a way, like people are animals as well. And
I mean, it's not propaganda, but
it's
I think a little bit designed to make you at least think about it a little bit.
Yeah,
and which I did.
I also think that Elin told me when we were watching it, like, I'm not eating meat again. You know, so there you go. And I was also sitting there feeling sorry for the cow. You know,
that's exactly what Shep said. She did a vegan February this year.
Okay,
and she said, I mean, come on, it's a little weird that we keep eating meat. Mm. It's a little weird. I get that. Yes. I can see that. We don't eat a lot of meat here, but for the time being, I need it occasionally.
Yeah.
You know, I don't need it to survive, but I like my meat on occasion. There you go.
Yeah. We're going back into it. We were vegetarians for a while.
Yeah.
But, you know, yeah, it's a weird thing, especially when you see that kind of stuff. You're so withdrawn from all that when you buy it in the supermarket.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, that's kind of like a side point of the film.
Yes.
They don't really address it anymore once you see that one scene. Then the movie could actually take place anywhere. and the slaughterhouse is basically just...
But it's a very good choice, and it fits, don't you think?
Yeah, I think it fits. You know.
But about the... cinematography. I just thought it was really. I wrote down crisp.
Yeah.
Very like crisp and very steady and.
Yeah.
Not a lot of movement, which I always like.
Yeah.
And some beautiful, beautiful shots like that. Remember that shot when he shot the forest and it filled the frame.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like trees rustling.
Mm-hmm.
That stuck with me.
Yeah, yeah.
It was
yeah.
very good. And of course, the whole, there's a lot of mirrors going on. Sometimes the animals were shot in the pond.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And there's
reflections.
Yeah. Reflections and sometimes through glass.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. I think it definitely added to the film an extra aspect, and it's, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the whole movie was so much about their psyche, like who are they as people, and I felt like the camera was always showing that, like they were reflections of themselves, if you should take it that direction.
You could go there, you
know? Yeah. Yeah, and also, whenever we were... spending any time with Maria,
okay.
Then you had these very very like very close ups of various things, because she was slightly neurotic. She was kind of focusing on all those things. So you always had that very blurred background. She was always like very much in focus, just her face. Or very much in focus, these small details in her environment. When she was playing with the two, like, salt and pepper shakers.
Mm-hmm.
When she was at the interview with the psychologist, then she was also, like, focusing on her, like, scratching her shoulder.
True.
And clicking her pen.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Those kind of things. Like focusing on all those details. And also, they always framed her. If you were further away from her, she was always very, very small in the frame. There was so much going on around her, and she just seemed very lonely. She seemed very much by herself. The way the camera shot her, and I thought that was really beautiful. Like I think it was really beautiful how the cinematography actually helped to tell the story.
Yeah, and characterization, and, like you said.
Yes, like that.
Sometimes you can get like a shot, a couple of seconds, and you know, you kind of get to know that person really well. Mm-hmm. It's a good example when she's standing there and what's the main character, male actor called? Is it?
Andre.
Yeah. He was looking at her, and she was standing just on a corner, and she's looking down, and she sees that the shade from the wall is cast a little bit over her toes. So she backs up because she has OCD, and she can't stand on a line. I know what this is, actually. I know this. I try not to step on lights and stuff like that. My car radio is never on an uneven number. It's always on 12, 10. It's never on 13, 11, anything like that. It doesn't work for me.
I know.
So
I've Yeah.
Yeah. So the characterization was really good, I felt, and the cinematography definitely added to that.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, what you're left with also with this movie is that, like, story-wise, you're thinking, like, what is it really? And it's basically a story about these two people. And however they're being characterized throughout the movie, that's what the movie is. You know, I was not left with, wow, that was a dramatic narrative. You know, I thought it was a beautiful story and like a nice way of seeing these two people evolve.
True. I would say it's a small story.
Yeah, it is.
But it made kind of made big.
Mm.
And yeah. So let's talk about other stuff, like technical stuff. What did you think about the score music?
Oh, yeah, that was actually a sore point for me.
Yeah, good.
Unfortunately, because it was so dreamy. They really used this dreamy music, and I didn't feel like they had to. And it pulled me out of the movie whenever they put it on, also because it reminded me so much of American Beauty.
Are you talking about the music or the score?
The score. Okay. Like what they're not the music that she's like you know, getting in the store and kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And when they're using that music, that's completely fine. I think it was like Marlon something, who was a singer. It was like an English singer that is like the main love song in the
movie. Can I impress you now?
Yes.
Diegetic music.
Yes.
I have learned that term now.
Yeah.
Yes.
Exactly. So all the non-diegetic music, I was not a fan of.
So, okay, good. Good. Then we disagree. I could say it didn't bother me at all. I thought it was fairly sparse. Wasn't overused.
That's the thing, because it seemed like whenever it started, I was thinking, oh, now it comes again, that floaty, dreamy music. Because, I mean, they really didn't have to. There were so many sounds going on at the slaughterhouse anyway. There were so many sounds in their environment. And it just, I don't know.
Maybe it's just a difference in how we experience stuff.
Yeah,
this thing.
Yeah.
It didn't bother me at all. I hardly noticed it.
Yeah, probably because I felt like it was so American Beauty-esque. So I was also just focused on that, and that they used the same piece of music all the time. It was like the same riff.
Okay.
It was not like different variations of it, or at least it didn't seem like that. It seemed like it started at the same time every time. And it seemed to me that you were supposed to interpret the scene in some ways. Like whenever that music came on, something you know, out of the ordinary is happening or something like that. And I don't know, I just thought it was unnecessary. It didn't ruin the movie by any means, but it was just not for me.
Mm-hmm. I there was no page for Adam Balaus, who did the music at Wikipedia, so I don't know anything about him. I just googled him actually, right now, and he has a adambalaus.com. So if anyone wants to check that out, you know, there it is.
Yes.
Anyway, moving on.
Yeah, I really don't know how much more to say, because I really enjoyed the reveal of some of the plot points in this movie. I think it's so new that you don't really want to spoil anything. And it's part of just the experience of seeing this movie. This is such an experience movie. I've written down like it's poetic. Mm. first and foremost. And I mean, of course, the cinematography lends to that. And yeah, I mean, I love seeing these characters. I thought it was funny at times. I thought maybe sometimes it was a bit too funny. like they were making a bit too many jokes. It was a little bit out of character.
I didn't get that. I thought it was funny, but just right amount. I'm having a hard time criticizing this film. I'll tell you that.
Mm.
And I was, in regards to the cinematography, the editing was just right as well for me.
Yeah.
Hardly noticed it, and the shots kind of got to play out. And since last time we were going on about the music, we were talking about Aki Kaurismäki and his lack of score.
Yeah.
Complete lack of score.
Yeah.
And it made me think, like we talked about, that how much do you need score? What is it for? Exactly. So I was very aware of, I'm now very much more aware of the score.
Yeah.
And I don't want...
And yet you were not annoyed by this.
Exactly. That's what I was going to say. So it has to be less is more right now for me. It has to be. Otherwise, it's just, if it's too much, it feels to me a little fake, but not here. But you started talking about the characterization. What did you think about the acting performances? We have Alexandra Borbély, who's a Slovakian actress, who has gotten a lot of accolades. She was like, she got like European Actress of the Year or something last year.
Yeah. And didn't she get a BAFTA?
Could be.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, I don't want to. Yeah.
Wikipedia, my Bible says she got a European Actress Award at the European Film Awards. Whatever that is.
Yeah.
We're not so much into the awards here.
No, not so much. And then there's the main male actor. It's called Morjani Geza.
Do they say the last names first?
Yeah.
The Hungarians?
I think so.
Really?
I think so. It seems that way with this movie, at least. In the subtitles, it was reversed, and they were saying it differently. It seemed like that.
Geza Morjani. He's a 65-year-old university professor. This is something we need to ask Tomas.
Yeah, Tomas. Yeah.
Because he could tell us maybe about this guy, because it seems this is his first role as an actor.
Yeah.
And I must say, he was very good, very convincing.
Yeah.
And I would also like to ask if he knows if the disabled.
Yeah.
If that guy is really disabled, I don't think so.
No, I wouldn't think so either. But you never know.
I don't know. Maybe.
No. I mean, he hasn't been in anything else. So, but also Alexandra hasn't been in anything else, it seems.
They were both excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent.
And they were very good. I enjoyed their performances. But again, it was also the camera. Like, I think a lot of credit can go to them, but it was also how they were shot. It was very, very much the camera's work, many times at least.
Completely agree.
Yeah, I mean, you had a lot of her speaking, for instance, but doing something with close-ups and stuff like that. You got their character through, well, visuals rather than what they were actually doing, and yeah. But of course, they were still acting, and it was impeccable.
I mean, what you got from the man, Morjani. I had no idea if this is correct.
Yeah. Maybe we can get that fact checked also.
You got that he was experienced in life. He had been through some stuff. He was wise.
Yeah.
And you kind of trusted him with the young woman. I can't really place the person, but I think I know this person, you know? Okay. So she was this OCD autistic type, no social skills, no people skills. She had to learn everything she knows. She learns by watching stuff. There's no natural, she doesn't pick anything up communication-wise naturally. You mentioned that it was maybe overused with the making fun of her. I think that's what you meant with the kind of hammering home how she is autistic. And I didn't think it was too much, but I guess that's maybe because I just really enjoyed this film.
Yeah.
Some people say it's too long. I disagree. I didn't feel
I disagree completely as well. Yeah.
But it was great, some great scenes showing. They didn't, I mean, they had me at the first two, but sometimes she needs a little comic relief as well. And it's good for that too.
Yeah.
Like with the porn thing. What the fuck was that?
That was
great.
And I love how they don't have any restraints.
No, they
should
that.
Only be able to see breasts, maybe.
That was hardcore stuff, and you immediately got that she actually doesn't know. Her face was absolutely deadpan looking at that. She was like, "Yes, I'm taking this in. I'm learning this." And I was like, "Don't learn this. Don't learn this. No, this is not what you should be learning."
No, exactly. and it made for the next scenes to be even like more like awkward, you know, because you know what she's thinking in those situations.
Yeah.
So, you know, that was a good scene.
I think.
I mean, there are so many good scenes. Like I think the whole interview part at the slaughterhouse was also very well done. Like I loved the reactions of Morjani, the male actor.
Yeah,
you know, when he gives the therapist a bit of a sexual gaze, I guess. You know,
he looked at her breasts. They were there for the looking, and he looked and Godspeed, sir.
And then, he had to answer a lot of uncomfortable questions, and you know, it was just, I really liked a lot of this movie. Like, I can't fault it for anything either. Like that, one thing maybe is that I didn't feel that invested towards the end. Like, I didn't feel it as much as I felt like I should. Because it's kind of like it goes to quite a sad point towards the end, and then
there's a hook in the different direction, I guess.
Yeah, and I didn't feel the stakes as much because it didn't seem like it was the kind of movie that would go this direction.
I liked that it was just felt like a looking for the word here. Anticlimactic, a little bit.
And it also, like, they also played that for laughs a little bit, like that very dramatic scene, and then they reverse it and played for laughs, you know. And
some very explicit scenes,
yeah.
And I have to commend the effects department on that scene. That was really scary stuff.
Yeah.
Some very explicit stuff. And like with the porn, it's very explicit. And the cow. You got that a few times. You got really, you kind of really were shocked a few times.
But you know, that's why I'm saying like it's very dramatic and explicit sometimes, and then like on the, like when it all comes down to it, this is a romantic comedy. But it's just I mean, it may be like put a bit on the edge, but I mean, it is a romantic movie.
It's I don't a romantic know, film. I wouldn't, yeah. I wouldn't go there. You said
say
it was
romantic. Comedy.
You would say it's poetic. I didn't see any romance. It was underneath, of course, but yeah.
Yeah.
You said poetic. I'm there.
Okay.
It was very calm. I guess maybe because I'm rating it very highly, I'm rating it like 4.5 yeah. out of mm-hmm. 5.
Mm-hmm.
Really impressed. But maybe it's because what I like these days. I like calm. It was so calm. And it felt and stylistically mm-hmm. really, I don't know, crisp. That's the word I'm stuck in. Crisp.
Yeah. that's calm. Your main word for this movie.
And the identity kind of held all the way through. Was impressed with the actors. The script was great. Always a good sign.
Mm.
And I've read some reviews calling it uneven. I disagree. Mm. And I've read reviews calling it too long. I disagree.
Yeah.
Okay. For me, it was almost perfect.
Yeah. I agree with that. I've given it 4 stars out of 5. And when I did that, I was thinking about the music that was bugging me sometimes. And then the emotional investment that I had in it was not on par with what I would expect to have in this movie. Like there was, and I think, I mean, I do agree a little bit with this unevenness.
Mm.
But mainly it's the tone. Like that it goes from these very strong images, very strong opinions about situations, and then like you have that comic relief and you have that quirky interaction between people. It was all great to watch, but it was a little bit, yeah, well, maybe uneven is a good word for it. But it doesn't take away from the movie being not beautiful and engaging to look at. You're just left questioning a bit, like why do we need those explicit scenes sometimes.
I think you need to shock the system occasionally.
Yeah, it seemed a bit shocking actually.
And having said
keep
that,
keep you engaged.
Yeah, having said that, it is shocking, and you think about the meat and all kinds of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I'm left feeling optimistic because you have there's a lot of beauty, and you have people, you know, kind of hopeful. It left mm-hmm. me hopeful.
Yeah,
you have these people that seem a bit at the, I don't know, last stop. Kind of, there's not much hope for them for love. And stuff like that, the difficulty.
But they even explain that, like, verbally, you know, the main character, at least. I mean, a lot of these things mm-hmm. are being explained like that. But even though it's this kind of exposition, it's all right. It's in their character to say it.
Mm-hmm.
So you accept it.
True. And one more thing. I keep coming back to the main male character. If this is his first role as an actor, sir, please continue. Because his face is such a... Yeah. It's a movie face. It's full of character. Yes. Don't you think?
Yeah.
He was so good.
There's so much experience in his face.
Yeah, and wisdom. That's mm-hmm. what I... wisdom. And I mean, Alexandra Borbély was really, really good. But for me, he kind of stole the show.
Yeah. But he was also the one who needed the wisdom, as you say, where she was basically a blank slate. She was playing a blank slate in
could
some ways,
that.
You know?
Could say that.
But she also, evolves during this
she
movie.
Does. Characterization is great. There's not really any flat...
No.
characters there. Mm-mm. So that's always a good sign. Again, script was really good.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm happy. I'm happy.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm very happy. I have really not much to say because I feel like it's such a small but beautiful film.
So yeah, and, so thank you, Tomas, for your recommendation.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. And hopefully he can advise us on some more Hungarian cinema to dive into.
That'd be good.
He did show me something with horses at one point that was quite fascinating. Unfortunately, I can't remember the name of it, but also this animal focus. We'll get back to that. We'll see what he recommends next. Maybe that's a new segment on this show.
Tomas's recommends. Corner. Yeah,
exactly.
Incidentally, my son is really into horses now.
Okay.
Yeah, I usually take him to bed to bed every night,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and we go through a story. I tell him a story, and he always is anticipating the horse. Because there's a horse, and it's about a little elephant, and there's a horse that comes and helps him.
Mm-hmm.
And he's always anticipating the gobbegob, the horse.
Okay.
Yeah, he really likes the gobbegob.
That's nice.
It's not really important for the show, but there you go.
Yeah, but that's very good.
Yes.
That's very good.
Okay,
maybe
thank you.
You should show him some Hungarian film.
Maybe. Maybe we'll go see that. Me and Simone.
Yeah. Yeah. That's great. Anyway, anything more to add?
Not really. Really happy. No. But for next time, we were talking about Lucky.
Yes.
Harry Dean Stanton's last film.
Finally, it's in the cinemas here. Well, one cinema. So I'm going to watch it. At least keep it on the back burner or like keep it in my mind until you get a chance.
It's nowhere to be seen here. I'm on the verge of breaking the law and just kind of get it. It's annoying.
That's what you are tempted to with these small releases that that you really want to watch, but they don't get picked up for some reason.
I mean, what am I supposed to do in Iceland when a particular film doesn't come here? Mm-hmm. Am I supposed to go abroad to see it in a theater?
Mm-hmm.
Or am I supposed to wait to have it released, I don't know, somewhere? On demand.
Yeah.
Probably not coming on demand either.
Some studio will be.
Yeah, of course,
sure.
But not here. I mean,
not necessarily in Iceland. No.
So that means I have to get an account somewhere and the whole.
Yeah, and still kind of break the law in some way by circumventing those, but even though you pay for it. So
it's tough.
Yeah.
We don't want to break the law.
Here's an idea. You should just come and watch it with me and Gloria, downtown Copenhagen.
Ah, yeah. If life were so easy.
Yeah.
Just, hop on over to Copenhagen.
Yeah, just for a movie and then back again.
Yeah, sounds like a plan.
Yeah. But I'm excited about that one. But maybe we'll talk about A Quiet Place next time.
Maybe. That's an option.
There are some other films out, I think. Just saw the trailer for The Incredibles 2. I know you're kind of excited about the whole Incredibles thing.
Yeah, it's not out here yet.
Well, the trailer is, but But yeah, that's in June. And it's probably coming after the summer in Denmark. It seems like they're always delayed two, 3 months.
Yeah,
the Pixar films. I mean, Coco was just released like a month ago or something.
Okay, I don't know if it's out here. I don't really follow the mainstream cinemas here.
No. Well, anyway, maybe I'll also catch up on The Phantom Threat, and we can discuss that one. Maybe,
there is that. Yeah.
One-two punch with A Quiet Place, and then Phantom Threat.
That sounds like a plan. Actually, I did catch one of two screenings in Iceland of The Phantom Threat.
Yeah.
So I did my part.
Good. Yeah. Yes. Anyway, that's about, like, it wraps it up, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, so as always, you can find us on theconversationpodcast.net, and you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, SoundCloud. Just do a search for a Nordic film podcast, and the conversation will pop up.
Yeah. That leads us back to the old question: when are we going to change our name?
Yeah.
Yeah. It'll sometime this coming. Year, maybe.
Yeah, sometime. We'll see. Sometime. Yeah. But it's a bigger thing. You need to change websites and accounts and, yeah, you know, all those kind of things.
Yeah.
And you don't want to confuse people too much.
You don't want that, no. But anyway, come find us in any of these places and yeah, comment and like us.
Comment.
And,
yeah.
Yeah, and a review. That would be good.
Yes, so we can be bumped up a little bit on iTunes, for instance.
Yeah.
That would be great. So so please let us know what you think. And yeah, thank you for listening.
I guess we'll catch you next time.